title of the sermon this afternoon, congregation, is Jesus' Sheep Will Not Get Lost. And the text comes to us from John 10 that we read before, verses 27 to 30. And I'll just read them again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have a confession, a doctrine, which we call the perseverance of the saints. And this doctrine is quite broadly spelt out in the canons of Dort, but it is taught just as well in the Heidelberg Catechism. For instance, when we are taught about the Church, we confess that the Son of God gathers, defends, and preserves a Church chosen to eternal life, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. That pretty well sums up what this doctrine of the perseverance of the saints is all about. We confess that those who truly believe in Jesus will surely persevere in that faith till the end. True believers may fall, like David did, and he sinned in a horrible way, and he did not repent in a horribly long time, or like Peter did, and he denied the Lord in the most crucial moment. Yet believers will not ultimately fall away from the faith. Now, it is good to have all this written down in a creed of the Church, but what can you do with it practically? Some of us, and perhaps every one of us at one time or another, have our difficulties with this confession. Could this really be true? Can I really be sure that once I believe, I will get there? I mean, die as a believer and go to heaven. Is it not possible that I will fall away at a certain point, at never to return to the right track? Some examples come to mind. People you remember. Once they were elders. Once he was a minister. Once they seemed to be believers at least. And as far as you know, they died in unbelief. Some words in the Bible also come to mind, which seem to talk about people who have left the Church because they started to love this present world. What about it? Can anyone ever be so sure and confess that no matter what happens, you'll stick it out? Now, when you once again read over our text, all those sure words come at you. Jesus says, "My sheep, they know me, they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish." Do you hear that? They shall never perish. And to top it all off, no one can snatch them out of Jesus' hand or out of the Father's hand. Jesus says that his sheep will never get lost. The reason being, because they are given to Jesus by the Father, because Jesus gives them eternal life, and because they are in Jesus and the Father's hand. So let's look at these three points. It was at a crucial point in Jesus' life that this discussion about sheep who will never get lost came up. It happened during the feast of the dedication of the temple. The Jews celebrated that feast around the time that we celebrate Christmas. Then they would think about the restoration of the temple after this temple was defiled by the Greeks and restored by Judas the Maccabee. Jesus was in Jerusalem during this feast. Some of the Jews gathered around him, thinking it would be a good thing if another Judas the Maccabee would arise. Some perhaps even hoped that the Messiah himself would come and bring an end to foreign occupation. They knew that there were people who said that Jesus was the Messiah. But is he? Well, why not put the question to him bluntly? Jesus, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus' answer is a bit disconcerting, almost offensive. But you know, he knows who is asking what. Jesus doubts very much whether they really want to know. Would they like to hear out of his own mouth that Jesus is the Messiah? They have heard Jesus preach. They have seen his works. And they still keep on wondering. Those people do not believe in him. Neither do they want to. So, also bluntly, Jesus says, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Boy, that hurts. You are not my sheep. Now, those people probably couldn't care less. But you and I, we may start wondering, are we his sheep? Let me tell you, we'd better settle that question of whether we are his sheep first. Otherwise, it makes no sense to talk about the perseverance of the saints. Before talking about the question of whether you'll remain a sheep of Jesus forever, we better first know whether we are his sheep now. It's a question that can haunt you. You need an answer. You need an answer because otherwise you'll never be sure of anything. You'll never be able to be sure of eternal life. Are you a sheep of Jesus? Can you know the definite answer to that question? Would you not want to know? Well, the answer is right in our text. Just read it carefully once again. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So that is it. My sheep listen to my voice. The question that you must be able to answer is, do I listen to the voice of Jesus, and do I follow him? You see, there are so many voices in this world. There are so many things and ideas and temptations to follow. You know what you are doing, don't you? You know whether you hear the voice of Jesus above all the other noises and voices of this world. They tell me that sheep of several shepherds would be together in the fold, and that this one shepherd would want his flock to come out and to lead them to green pastures. Then the shepherd would call them, and only the sheep of his own flock would follow him. They know the voice of the shepherd, like you know the voice of your parent or spouse. In that way, my sheep know my voice, says Jesus. They hear and listen to it. Now, don't tell me that you don't know whether you listen to Jesus' voice. Do you say, I don't care what he says? Or do you truly want to know what he wants you to do? You know which it is. You know whether you love Jesus. Then you may also know that Jesus knows you. I know my sheep, says Jesus. I know you. That also means I love you. The way Jesus knows us always includes love. I know you as my own, as people who belong to me, body and soul. It's wonderful to hear Jesus say that. It's something to think, to sing about. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. Okay, Jesus' sheep hear his voice. But could it be that hearing his voice is just an outward thing that does not touch the heart? Not with my sheep, says Jesus. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You can check that one out for yourself too. Do you follow Jesus? To follow Jesus is to walk behind him, to go wherever he goes, to tread wherever he leads, to follow even if the road looks dangerous. To follow Jesus means that you want to stick to him because only with him are you safe. Some people say, I believe in Jesus. They merely mean to say, I believe that he exists. That isn't good enough. Do you follow Jesus? That's the question. You know the answer to that question. Jesus says his sheep follow him. So, if you do, you are his sheep. Now, you may say, yes, but today I may choose to be his sheep, yet tomorrow I may do exactly the opposite. Maybe I won't stick it out. We must abide in Jesus too, right? Doesn't Jesus himself say on another occasion that those who do not abide in him are like branches that wither? Such branches are picked up and thrown in the fire to be burned. There is always this matter of if, right? If I keep on following him, I will make it in the end. But what if I don't? Did not Paul say at one time to those people who were so sure of themselves, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful you don't fall"? Moreover, the same Paul writes about a certain Hymenaeus and a certain Philetus and a certain Demas and a certain Alexander who lost their faith and who were lost for the church. Does that disturb you? Of course, it is always disturbing when you see those things happen. But does it disturb you in the sense that it might happen to you? Somewhere the Apostle John says that there were people who have left the church, but he adds to it that they went because they never belonged to us. They were never Jesus' sheep. They did not hear his voice. They were not known by Jesus. They always did their own thing, and when they'll knock at the door, Jesus will say, "I never knew you." They never really followed Jesus. In short, they were never his sheep. You see how important it is to know, first of all, whether you are really his sheep. Once you know that, you need not worry about the rest, for the sheep of Jesus will stick it out. They will remain with him always. After all, they were given to Jesus by the Father. The Father makes no mistakes. He has chosen his own from eternity. Those he has given to Jesus. And Jesus, therefore, will hold on to them. They are precious in his sight. Of those who were given to him by the Father, nobody gets lost. Yes, sheep of Jesus will not get lost because they are given to Jesus by the Father. Secondly, they will not get lost because Jesus gives them eternal life. You see, for Jesus' disciples, there must have been an added problem, a big problem. What if not the sheep, but the shepherd gets lost? What if the shepherd gets killed and cannot lead any further? Remember that Jesus spoke of his impending death more than once. He spoke about that too in connection with his sermon about the Good Shepherd. "I am the Good Shepherd," he said. "The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." That's all fine and dandy, but would this not greatly imperil the condition of the sheep? Would his death not mean that they would altogether be scattered all over the place, with their beliefs destroyed? You know that the contrary is true. It is exactly in death that Jesus imparts life by his blood to his sheep. Jesus says this now very clearly. "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me." And then it comes, "I give them eternal life." So, you hear his voice? Do you really? So you follow him. You really want to belong to Jesus in life and death? Then you are his sheep. Then he gives you eternal life. Just imagine, he says he gives it. Not he shall give it if you stick it out. No, he gives it now. As his sheep, you've got it now. You've got eternal life. Do you believe in Jesus? Then believe what he says here. His sheep hear his voice. He knows them. They follow him. And he gives them eternal life. and you know what eternal life is, there is no end to it. So now that you have it, it seems fitting to add, so use it. That is a slogan from the building industry. You have got your knowledge of safety instructions, so use them. Or else you get accidents. Now we could say, you have your knowledge of Jesus and his promises and his gifts, so use it. Otherwise you get accidents. You get this unsure feeling. Use what you have got. Use what you believe. Let him, let Jesus lead you. He gives eternal life. Do you wonder how you could get eternal life? Stop wondering about that. Just accept Jesus' word for it. It is a gift. Jesus says, I give them eternal life. It is given, not earned as a wage, not merited as a prize, not won as a crown. It is truly a free gift for those who are his sheep, for those who hear his voice and follow him. Some people just can't believe it. They keep wondering. They'll say, yes, but there are no doubt conditions that must be met in order to retain this gift. You will lose it, no doubt, if, for instance, you are not faithful. But Jesus does not waver. He says, they shall not perish. They shall not perish. Backslide? Yes. See what happens to David when he watches Bathsheba there on top of the roof. See what happens to Peter when he, all of a sudden, feels trapped by a number of maidservants in the courtyard of the high priest's palace. Backslide? Yes. It can happen to any one of us. Whoever thinks that he stands, better watch and see that he does not fall. But perish? True sheep of Jesus perish? No. Hypocrites and false believers lose their faith, not the faith. That they never had. But true believers, Jesus' sheep, they will not perish. Sheep cannot turn into goats, not in Jesus' book. Not in his book of life. See, Jesus wants you to know about that. He wants you to know for sure. That is why he is so positive. I give them eternal life. That's why he gives this double assurance. They shall not perish. That is for emphasis. Like, you might wonder, did I hear that well? You, Jesus, give your sheep eternal life? But you probably mean that maybe you will, if they show good behavior all the way. No, says Jesus, I don't mean that. I mean that they shall not perish. That should be very clear. Just imagine, if then you are his sheep and you know whether you are or not, then you will be forever. Jesus' sheep will not get lost. They will not get lost, first of all, because they are given to him by the Father, and so they hear his voice and follow him. They will not get lost, secondly, because Jesus gives them eternal life. And after all, eternal is eternal. And finally, they will not get lost because they are in Jesus and the Father's hand. Jesus wants you to know that his sheep will not be lost. He wants you to know very well that you may, so that you may have rest, peace, assurance, and joy. Do you hear that now? This is a last assurance. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Indeed, no one. You talk about persecution and what may happen then. Will you be able to stand? You talk about the temptations of the world, and you have seen so many former church members fall. Will you be able to stick it out? You talk about Satan and his tremendous force going about like a roaring lion and all that. Will you ever be able to be sure that you will still believe to the end? Jesus says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. Let's put it another way. Just imagine, here I am, like a precious gift of the Father in Jesus' hand. Here comes the enemy. Whoops, he just snatches you out of Jesus' hand with an unexpected swoop. There stands Jesus, utterly surprised, utterly defeated. Can you imagine that? Of course you can't. There are several reasons why we cannot imagine that. There is so much assurance given by Jesus right in the words which we are discussing now. Jesus says, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. There is no power beyond his power." And if you want added assurance, here it is. Not only can you not be snatched out of Jesus' hand, you also ought to know that no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. For a moment, you may wonder, what is Jesus talking about now? Is this not a bit confusing? Whose hand is it, Jesus or the Father's? It does not really matter. That is what Jesus clearly seems to say. It does not really matter whether I say that nobody can snatch them out of my hand or whether I say that nobody can snatch you out of my Father's hand. You see, I and the Father are one. We are one in the purpose of protecting you. We are also one in every way, so that my hand is the same as the Father's hand. Yes, Jesus identifies himself here with the Father. By the way, the Jews understood that better, a lot better than such people as the Jehovah's Witnesses, who keep on denying that Jesus would ever have called himself God. The Jews called this blasphemy, that Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." They said, "You, a mere man, claim to be God." For that reason, they wanted to stone him to death. The Jews heard him right. Jesus claimed to be God. And that is just it. Jesus is God. How else could you ever trust him? How else would anyone ever be safe? But if you are in God's everlasting, ever faithful, and powerful hand, then you are as safe as anybody can ever be. You may indeed believe the perseverance of the saints. But, and I say emphatically with the canons of Dort and with all those who hold to this confession, you may never believe in the perseverance of the saints because the believers are so strong. We confess like children do. We are weak, but you are strong. We confess with the Catechism that we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand for a moment. But we do also confess that he, our faithful God, is strong. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that encouraging, reassuring, and comforting? Once again, the question comes, do you hear the voice of Jesus? Do you follow him? Do you, even today, hear the voice of Jesus calling you to follow him? If then you have heard his voice and you want to follow him, you may go your way, reassured, tremendously strengthened. You may go your way rejoicing. Do you find it hard to accept these words of Jesus, to live in this assurance of faith? Do you perhaps even find it hard to follow? And is there something in you that resists this doctrine of the perseverance of the saints? Perhaps I should emphasize for a moment what Berkauer wrote in his book Faith and Perseverance. He says that it should be well understood that only out of faith and only in faith is it possible to confess this perseverance. Those who don't believe in Jesus will ridicule Jesus' teaching. They will deny that anybody could ever be promised eternal life, now for keeps. They will say that it all depends on man's efforts. There are quite a number of sincere Christians that say the same. But you cannot get around these words of Jesus. Don't try either. These words are meant to give you comfort and strength. Hear the call to set aside your intellectual objections and surrender all to him, to Jesus, like a child, the child that sings happily that I am weak and he is strong. He will not forsake the works of his hands. I know that he will lead me all the way. Don't you? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful assurance of your grace that we find in Scripture in Jesus' words and that we've heard expounded this evening. May we be comforted and strengthened in our standing before you with our knowledge of Jesus and his promises and his gifts. May our hearts be kindled to put this knowledge into action for the cause of the gospel and the good of your kingdom. Indwell in us by your Holy Spirit. Hear us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.